Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
True knowledge of God is essential to right relationship to Him. So God, I said, not only do I want to love you, I want to know you. And since I want to know you, I want to know how you think. Would you go with me to the book of 1 John, chapter 1? It's right before 2 John, or 3 John, or Jude, or Revelation, toward the end of the Bible back there. 1 John, and I want to talk about this, and I've preached on this particular verse many, many times, but the Lord began to deal with me because there's so many avenues of, you can take one verse and preach a billion sermons off of it because Revelation comes, you see, and those different things. And John the Beloved, we did call him John the Apostle, was the last apostle of the chosen 12 to go home to be with the Lord in the physical realm, you know, and he was a wonderful man, and he was actually very dangerous to the world. And so they put him on the Isle of Patmos. They tried to kill him, but he just wouldn't die. They put him in oil. And tried to boil him alive in oil. And he just had, you know, his skin, you know, he had a skin treatment. You know, that's what it was, you know, so he could have supple skin or whatever you call it. This man was a powerful, powerful man. But he was known for his love, and he was known for his understanding and his fellowship with God and with Jesus. And I want to talk about that. I'm reading out of the Old King James Version, and it's 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. It says this, that which was from the beginning. So notice he starts there. The beginning of what? Beginning of everything. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of God, which means they physically put their hands on Jesus. I mean, they saw him. And for the life was manifested, verse 2, and we have seen it and bear witness that show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The reason for all of this is the Father, for God so loved the world. The Father, see? But he had to send Jesus to get us in the right relationship. I'll deal with that in just a minute. Verse 3 is where I want to get to. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Fellowship. That's more than relationship. That's a higher level than we call relationship. See, when you're dating someone, you have a relationship with them. If you get married and you fall in love, you begin to form a fellowship. The reason why sometimes marriages don't work, because they never have fellowship. They have relationship, but not fellowship. It's a higher standard. You got to get up further, you know. And look, I'm going to read that again. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. Even though they've been gone 2,000 years, we can still have fellowship with the works that they've done. You notice that? With us, let me read it again. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Amen. Now, I'm known, John Hagee many, many years ago, called me the apostle of joy. He just couldn't get over how happy I could be. He said, don't you ever have trouble? All the time. Well, you don't worry about nothing. Well, would it help? Well, no, then why would I do that? I'll tell you something about worry. You ought to write this down, let me help you. Worry is a conversation that you have with yourself. Write that down, that'll help you. Why would you have a conversation with something you don't want? Worry is a conversation that you have with yourself. So I don't worry about nothing. You know why? Because would it help? No, well, then why would I do that? I like to fellowship with God. That's why in my daily devotions and when I'm talking to the Lord, I don't just pray, and I do pray, don't misunderstand me, but I like fellowship. Hello, Jesus, how'd you? I say, you've heard me say that many, many times. The word fellowship is unique, and God chose an entity so that the world could understand fellowship. And it's called the church. This church, or all churches, should have fellowship, whether we agree or disagree on certain homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological doctrine. That has nothing to come together in the unity of faith. not the unity of doctrine. Yet we don't have unity in the body of Christ, which destroys the fellowship. Where are the Baptists here this morning? Where are the Catholics? They've already had Mass. They could come for a little more. Nothing, I'm not being critical. Listen, why? Because we haven't had fellowship. We have uniformity, but not unity. See, uniformity is, well, I'll go hear the guy preach. I'll use Ron for example. I'll go hear the guy Ron preach. What do you mean? I ain't too crazy about that kind of stuff, but I'll go with him. And then you don't hardly see him again. See, that's uniformity. Well, I went to his meeting. Yeah, but you didn't have any unity. You see, unity is a powerful, powerful word. So I want to deal with fellowship is a necessary ingredient. And the reason why all of you, even though you have your own families, you were designed never to be alone. Never. God created a family. That was Adam and Eve. Now they sinned and hiding behind a tree. And he said, Adam, where art thou? Of course he knew where he was. I'm gonna see what he's gonna say. You know what I'm saying? So God started, see, a man is designed to go from a family to a tribe. From a tribe to a clan. This is the evolution of mankind. It starts off with a family. Then it goes to a tribe. Then it goes to a clan. Then it goes to a nation. You know, we want to be together. And when we're together in one mind and one accord, it's amazing how nice it is. You see what I'm saying? And it's just so wonderful. And for just a few weeks in December, even though you may not know people, you may be at the Lakeside Mall walking, shopping, or doing whatever, people smile a lot more. Why? Because it's the spirit of Christ. We're celebrating Jesus' birthday. But see, that's that family fellowship, and you smile. And you enjoy that. And you get what I call generous, even to people that you don't even know. Generous with a smile. Generous with a handshake. Or you might see someone say, you really look nice today. Or whatever, you know. Merry Christmas. And you know, and those types of things. Because see, that fellowship brings those things together. It's a necessary ingredient. And the reason why, and churches can be full and not have fellowship. I mean, I know some churches that are completely full, and most people don't even know each other because they come out of daily, what our weekly obligation, instead of really doing this because God said that you could have fellowship with Him. Now, that really shocked me being raised and christened and confirmed a Catholic boy because I was not allowed to talk to God. You talk to the priest. I'm not being critical of the Catholic Church. Just the way it was. So for me to go talk to God, I said, what would God want to talk to me for? You know what I mean? I mean, you talk to the priest. The priest talks to God. Watch this. The priest gives you absolution. He ain't supposed to do that. That's God doing that by you saying, Lord, forgive me. Now, so I'm not knocking it because I know that he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, death, hell, and the grave. I understand all that doctrinally. Don't misunderstand. But what I'm saying is you should have such great fellowship with the people in your church, the people all over the world, which would bring the world together. There would be no fighting in Gaza if people had fellowship. And that's the Holy Land. You don't think that's going on? I mean, there's been tension like crazy there for thousands of years. And it should not be. So I want to talk about that, and you can write this down. The title of my message is Fellowship is a Necessary Ingredient. Write this down, point one. Fellowship has been seen to be a sheer necessity of life. It has to have it's a sheer necessity. You don't like to be alone. That's why people remarry. A lot of times, for companionship, not for sexual things and things like that, but for so you have fellowship with one another. That doesn't mean you don't argue and you have maybe some have spats and all that kind of stuff, but that doesn't break the fellowship unless you allow it to be broken. Let me say it again. Fellowship has been seen to be a sheer necessity of life. Well, how do I know that? Family, tribe, clan, nation. We're on one planet. None of us can just walk off. So we ought to be all friends. Why do we have trouble with China? Why do we have trouble with Russia? Or why they have trouble with us? Because we're always trying to be who's the best. And there's nothing wrong with being the best, but you ought to at least get to better before you get the best. You see what I'm saying? And I tell people, don't get bitter, get better. And then from better to best. So write this down, this point two. The richness of our lives is a royal invitation. The richness of our lives is a royal invitation to the rest of the world to share our joy. It's a royal invitation because you are not some low-down, dirty dog piece of trash from hell. You are kings and priests in this life. You are royalty. You have the DNA of God Almighty flowing through you, around you, about you, over you. And when you really love somebody, you don't abuse them. They owe you nothing. I never forget, I was very generous when I was a young man, and I would date girls, and I dated Kathy. Now, I've always been generous. I don't know why, I just was, you know. And so if I'd go on a date, I'll use Kathy. And when I dated Kathy, we went to the Southland Mall in Houma there. And Kathy liked clothes, still does. And most girls like clothes. And there's nothing wrong with that. I had no problem with that. So we walked in because the theater was way in the back there, you know. So you kind of walk down the mall, depending on what entrance you came into. To make a long story, if you went to Ag and Gag, that's called the A&G. We called it Ag and Gag. You know, then you went straight to the movie house. But if you went around the other side, you might walk over there, and you'd have to walk through the mall. Then you turn right, and you know, going. And Kathy stopped at the window, and saw this. A blazer, and she was looking at it. Nah, it's our first date, you know. And looking at it like that, and she said, "Boy, that thing's pretty." I said, "You want it?" She said, "What?" I said, "You want that? You can have it, I'll buy it." And she just looked at me like I said, whoa, excuse me. You ain't got to pay for it. And you ain't got to do nothing. You know, and a lot of people, a guy will buy somebody, a girl something, but he expects her to lay down or do something. I said, "No, if you just like it, it's yours." She said, "Are you serious?" I said, "I'm serious, if that's what you want." You know, so I think we bought the blazer, and she liked it. Now, I did that with other girls, too. I mean, I wasn't trying to get nothing from them. I was just trying to be nice. I wanted to have a nice time, and that's done by fellowship. You see, and when you understand that, and she didn't fall in love with me because I bought her things. She, you know, because, I mean, we just were dating. I mean, you know, That was it, you know, but what happened was it began to form a relationship. And then from the relationship, fellowship came. And we still have that fellowship today. See, and I love that point. And it's just such a blessing. The richness of our lives is a royal invitation to the rest of the world to share our joy. Now, those young people wanted to share my joy last Friday night there in Tulsa. They love my joy. People say, "I like being around that man. He's a lot of fun. Or he's got joy." Well, I tried sad. That's not fun. And let me tell you something, man. I can go with young people. I call them young people instead of kids. 12 years old, and they just have fun. And I can go with somebody that's 80 years old and still have fun. You see what I'm saying? The difference between 12 and 80. 80, they walk a lot slower. 12, they're running like crazy. And I just run with them. I thank God I'm on that treadmill and I do all that kind of stuff and do the best I can to kind of keep myself in reasonable shape, you know, or something like that. And it's a blessing. And I love hearing people's dreams and aspirations. And I always say, "What you going to do?" They used to say it all the time. I don't know, maybe they did it to you when you went to school. "What you going to be when you grow up?" I looked at them and said, "I've already grown up. I already knew what I was going to be when I was 6 years old. I knew I was getting out of poverty. I had it with that poverty because, you know, I wanted to be a blessing to mom and couldn't do nothing. You know, you understand? I didn't have cake for a birthday. We had cornbread that they sweetened. They called it sweet cornbread. Anybody ever had that? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, just the way it was, you know? And so to get a cake, now that's big, son, and things of that nature. But when I got born again, God gave me an invitation for royalty. Come and sit with me. Come and be on this throne. Come boldly to the throne. You need no appointment to talk to me. Now, all my spiritual sons and daughters, and I got quite a few of them, I treat them like I treat Jody, my daughter. I only have one daughter, one granddaughter. And Jody don't need an appointment to see me. Now, if you try to get to see me, you're going to have a hard time. I don't mean that privately. But my sons and daughters, I treat them just like as if they were biologically my sons and daughters. You see what I'm saying? And why? Because I'm their spiritual father. And a father should be a father, right? You know, because a father is really what makes a family. And the mama keeps it all together, but that father is supposed to handle that. That's why God said the father should teach the children about the gospel. But 99 out of 100 times they don't. It's the mother that does it, see? And they're so busy with making a living, see? And things, I never have tried to make a living. I tried to make a giving. See, and I still do that till today. So people want to enjoy my joy. They said, man, it's just amazing to me. And it's amazing how they want to hang out with me. I'm amazed at that. I mean, I go on vacation, or if I go preaching in Hawaii or something like that, I'm preaching all in my house. And I just walk around, I see people I've never seen before in my life. And a lot of times people know who I am because of television and things like that. And they'll go, hey, how you doing? I said, well, how you doing? You know, fine. Oh, y'all, this your first time in Hawaii? Oh, yes. I said, you want me to tell you where to go? You know, and what? Man, I'll tell them, and they'll come back, they'll see me the next day, you know, walking around the village or the hotel, and they say, boy, man, that was something. And they said, can we take you to lunch? I said, well, sure. You know, I said, I'll walk. You don't have to take me. I'll just walk myself, you know, those kind of things. And I've met so many people. And they realize people like being around people that are happy, yes, that are full of joy. And the joy of the Lord is the fruit of the Spirit. Yes. And happiness is the emotion of feeling. So I give them a royal invitation. Not that I'm something, but I am. Because God made me a king and a priest. You are something. You got to start looking at yourself like you're something, because you are. You're a king and a priest in this life. Not when you get to heaven, here. Yes. So you can enjoy these things and be prepared to do that, you see. Now, God instituted this church, the church, so that fellowship would be worldwide, but it began to be separated. And you notice how much God loved fellowship. Even though Adam and Eve broke covenant, sin, and they had to be taken out of the Garden of Eden. You know what God did? He took the Garden of Eden back up to heaven, and he said, I'm going out with them. And he went out in this sin-sick world, and he's still here today. Why? For God so loved the world. He wants fellowship. And, you know, and if you just go to him when you want something, I mean, would you consider somebody a friend that the only time they come to you is when they want something? No, that kind of gets a little aggravating, doesn't it? Yeah. But when you just come, hey, how you doing? You know, and me and Kathy, we eat out constantly. I don't know how much money I've spent over the years in restaurants, man. I mean, constantly. Usually twice a day or something like that, you know, most of the time, you know. And she said, what's the matter? You don't want to be with me? Yeah, I want to be with you, but I mean, let's get a crowd. I'll pay for everything. It don't make no difference. And, you know, I enjoy that. I enjoy them, and I know they enjoy us, and I want to know what they believe in, what they're thinking, what's going on, you know, not trying to get in their business in any way, shape, or form, just to simply know, to put a smile on somebody's face. And that gets, and see, that's fellowship that does that. In every which way, shape, or form. And it's amazing to me, and that's what John was saying here. Not only will you have fellowship with us, which means when I read his word, I'm fellowshipping with him. He wrote these things, but I'm also fellowship, watch this, with God, but I couldn't get to God till I could get to Jesus. God had to take a portion of himself because Jesus was with the Father from the beginning. That part of the Father that he called the Son and sent Jesus, who was made flesh and dwelt among men, so that we could be brought back to that holiness of who God is. But when you think of the word holiness, you think of bondage, when it's not. Holiness is the greatest freedom you can ever have because sin can no longer touch you. Isn't that amazing? See, that's fellowship. Write this now. True knowledge of God is essential to right relationship to him. True knowledge. Now, what do you mean? I've had some people say that, you know, but Jesse, I mean, you know, he'll go to a Catholic church. Well, why not? Do Catholics believe in Jesus? Do Catholics believe in Jesus? Yes. Answer me. Do Methodists believe in Jesus? So why can't I go to a Methodist church and preach? They believe in Jesus. How about Episcopalians? That's called Catholic light. And Presbyterian, that's Catholic light twice. You know, I have no problem with that. I'm going to tell you something that'll shock you. I'm comfortable. Do I agree with some of the things they agree with? No, I don't. But that doesn't mean I dislike them. That doesn't mean they don't have something to offer. Maybe in the spiritual realm. I don't allow skin color or creed or nationality to stop me from becoming a friend or being with someone. You see what I'm saying? Because that prejudice thing has been dealt so, has been drove so deep in man's consciousness, it's very hard to get out. You see what I'm saying? And it's a taught thing. And it should never be taught in any way, shape, or form. True knowledge of God is essential to right relationship to him. So God, I said, not only do I want to love you, I want to know you. And since I want to know you, I want to know how you think. That's why I tell people to come to church, because the corporate anointing is so much stronger than the singular anointing. And you know, and when I go with different people's nationality, color, and creed, I mean, I learn things that I didn't know from my side, you know, because if you only stick with who you are or who somebody, you don't want nobody else around you of a different color, nationality, you really become ignorant of what the world really has that you could be a blessing to. You're going to love our partner message. Fellowship is a necessary ingredient. You know, when Jesus saved you, he gave you a raw invitation for companionship. You were never designed to be alone. God created us to be a family, to come together in fellowship with him and one another. This uplifting teaching will bless you greatly. How do I get it? You just go to jdm.org and get your copy today.
Have you ever wondered what heaven is like? Then join Jesse Duplantis at his 2026 Heaven Tour. Since Jesse's miraculous trip to heaven in 1988, countless lives have been forever changed by the powerful message that Jesus gave him to proclaim throughout the world. At these in-person only services, Jesse will take you through his trip to heaven and share some of the many wonderful things that the Lord has in store for us, both in heaven and on earth. There will also be a special time of ministry, and then Jesse will answer some questions from the audience. It's time to discover the truth of eternity and embrace the everlasting love that Jesus has for you. Jesse Duplantis' Heaven Tour, Friday, August 14th at 7 p.m. in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota at Living Word Christian Center. Visit jdm.org for more information.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's message is so important to all believers. God didn't design us to be alone in the world. He created us to be his family, for us to come together in fellowship with him and one another. Now, why is fellowship so necessary? Let me tell you something. Because we were created to be friends. We were created, you know, the human race likes to live together. You see what I'm saying? And it's such a blessing of the Lord. You want more than a relationship. You want fellowship. And when you fellowship with people, you really find out who they are and what they're doing. And it's such a blessing. I'm so excited about my new book. It's entitled Create Your World and Walk in It. And people are loving this new book. If you want to bring God's blessings into your life and see the dreams he's put in your heart come to pass, I encourage you to order this book. It will bless you, I'm telling you. How you get it, go to jdm.org for all the ordering information. Come on, you need to do that so you can be blessed. I'm also excited in announcing my heaven tour, and the next one's gonna be in Brooklyn Park. I've been touring with my testimony about my trip to heaven in 1988. All the services are in person only, and lives are being transformed everywhere we go. My next one is next week. It's Friday, August the 14th, at Living Word Christian Center in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. You can get more details and tour dates on our meeting page at jdm.org. And it's not being filmed in any way, shape, or form. It's like, you know how they say it in theaters only? Well, it's only church only, right there. It's got to be alive, and you will be blessed. I tell you what, we've done two of them already, and people are just freaking out over what's going on. And we're opening up the question and answer, and it's just such a blessing. I hope you can attend. Partners, thank you for your faithful financial support to this ministry. We couldn't do it without you. We are celebrating 50 years in ministry all this year and have never had a financial deficit. You know why? I say it all the time. I trust you. You trust me, but we both trust God. It's such a blessing of the Lord. Thank you. Nothing too small and nothing too big. Believe in God for 20,000 people to give $1,000. That's $20 million. That's a lot of money. Two projects are going to wipe it out. We just pay cash for everything we do. We've been debt-free since 1982, and God is so good and gracious. Thank you for supporting this ministry. If you're not a partner, you pray about becoming one and watch the anointing of increase come on your life.
Till next week, I love you. Jesse saying bye-bye.
See Jesse Duplantis on his 2026 European Outreach. The 26th of August in the Netherlands. The 27th of August in Switzerland. The 28th of August in Bulgaria. The 29th and 30th of August in France. Jesse Duplantis 2026 European Outreach. The 26th to the 30th of August. For more information, go to jdm.org.
Are you ready to walk in God's vision for your life and receive above all that you ask or think? In my new book, Create Your World and Walk in It, you'll learn how to have God's creative DNA flowing inside of you. And your connection to His power gives you the ability to create too. By using your faith voice and saying only what faith says, discover the power within you. And every promise on your heart comes to pass in your life. Create your world and walk in it. Get your copy today at jdm.org.
Jesse Duplantis Ministries is literally circling the globe using every available voice. What would that be? That would be television, radio, printed page, internet, DVDs, CDs, books, whatever it takes to preach the gospel. Can you see it? Hey, can you see it? I can just see it. I can see the gospel going all over the world to every person. Every year, the souls adding up, people getting healed, lives being changed and delivered. Is that impossible? No. God thinks we can do that. Everything you see here at Jesse Duplantis Ministries was impossible, and everything we are going to do is impossible. But yet the Lord said, if you believe it, I'll do it. We are believing the unbelievable and receiving the impossible to simply reach people and change lives.
Join Jesse and Kathy Duplantis in Nashville, Tennessee for a special Friday event, August 7th at Faith is the Victory Church. Kathy at 10 a.m.
When He puts the assignment, He puts the dream on your heart, He also gives you the anointing to fulfill it.
And Jesse at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
See, this is more than religion, ladies and gentlemen. This is a living, speaking reality.
Don't miss this special Friday event, August 7th in Nashville, Tennessee.
Believing in God is not a lifestyle of fits and starts. Get all excited. I'm ready. That's a fit. But is it a fit of carnality?
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.